Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Southeastern Connecticut, Western Rhode Island, out to the Hamptons. Hope everyone's doing well this week. Please be careful today. We're supposed to get a bit of snow, 4 to 6, 5 to 7, who knows. But be careful out there. If you don't have four-wheel drive, stay off the road. Common sense. But, you know, sometimes you got to go to work. I get it. But please drive carefully and don't tailgate. Tailgating's my key thing there. My name's Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group out of Mystic, Connecticut. And our website is www.obrienretire.com. My phone number during the week or anytime on the weekend after the show is 860-415-9614. And my email is dobrien@ifgrr.com. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been an interesting week on Wall Street. Increasing volatility, a lot of ups and downs. People were nervous and whatnot. Several things happened this week I want to share with you, and I had a client actually bring a tear to my eye this week. A young widow came into my office to do some paperwork, and the hour appointment turned into 90 minutes where we really never got to the paperwork because we started sharing stories of her deceased husband, who I thought was just a wonderful man, a man that came to this country with just a shirt on his back, worked really hard, started a business, grew a net worth close to $1 million with no debt, never spent money on BS, worked hard, raised his family, his kids, really just salt of the earth, good man. He looked you in the eye, he shook your hand, his word was bond, you know, and he was old school that way. And I really cared for him, and I thought he was a good, good man. He approached me several months ago and said, you know, you got to help my widow when I go because this cancer is going to get me. And so we sat down with him and the wife, and we worked out a plan. And she came in my office, and we shared a lot of stories and talked about things that, you know, it's a tough time for her. And I told her no major decisions the next year. Anytime you get to go through a divorce, you lose a spouse or a parent or a child, I can't even conceive of that. You're running at maybe 20% power, and you need to let some time go by. She had a lot of time to process things. She knew he was going. So we talked about him quite a bit, and we talked about what she's going to do. And I was very pleasantly surprised that she and him had really discussed things with the children, and the business is going to be in good hands, and they've worked it out, and I think everything will run well. But, you know, one of the things I like about what I do, I really love about what I do, is the people feel the trust that they can tell me things that they can't tell anyone else. It's about money, about family, sometimes both, sometimes neither. It's something else. But they know they have total confidentiality. They can tell me what's going on, and, you know, it stops there. And they know that, and they don't have to worry about that. Because, you know, it's all about trying to take care of their money and trying to teach their children and grandchildren about money. But at the core, it's a trust that has to be earned. You know, I've turned away people from time to time because it just doesn't feel right. Either they're not a good fit for me or I'm not a good fit for them for whatever reason. And that's okay. That's okay. My Irish father always told me, and in his Irish brogue, he would tell me, he says, listen, Danny, he goes, 3 out of 10 are going to like you. And I'd say, oh, really, Dad? He goes, yeah, 3 out of 10 are going to like you. You'll notice that you have friends. Hopefully your spouse, they just like you. They trust you. You just get along. You get each other, you know. And the 3 out of 10 aren't going to like you either way. They just, whatever reason, they don't like you. And he says, and I've always told, you know, especially teenage girls and boys, there's people in school that aren't going to like you. It's okay. that's just the way the numbers work. 3 out of 10 are going to like you, and 3 out of 10 aren't going to like you, and that's life. And, of course, I say to my father, being the wise, you know, what I was, I said, Dad, what about the 4 in the middle? He goes, they could take you or leave you either way, and his Irish brogue. And he was right, you know. I mean, that's the way the numbers have broken down in the first 60 years of my life on this earth. I've discovered that 3 out of 10 you kind of get along with, and 3 out of 10, you know, it's okay. And 4 out of 10, you know, see them, you're friendly, but, you know, you're never going to be best friends or anything else. And that's life, and that's okay. Not everybody's going to like you, I like to tell the kids when they were growing up. But you're going to find it's going to be easy with the people that you get along with and whatnot. So that's some of the things that go on. Well, the other thing is a financial advisor. A lot of people ask me what your minimum account size is. A lady came in the other day. She was talking to another financial advisor. My minimum account size is $1 million. Or my, you see the ads on TV. The minimum account size is $500,000. Well, okay, what about the other 98% of the people out there? I'm thinking to myself when I hear these. When I hear that, I lose all respect for that financial advisor. And I'll tell you why. In the 60 years of my life, if 3 out of 10 of the people out there are going to like you and you want to help them and they want to help you and you have a mutual trust and benefit, who cares how much money they have? Those are the people you should be dealing with. Do you want to deal with someone with $2 million who doesn't like you? And that opposite 3 out of 10 aren't going to like you no matter what? And many young financial advisors force the issue and deal with people they don't like, they don't trust. And I would revert everything backwards, because many of these big firms now are run by accountants. And they say, well, at this break point, these are the net worths we want and everything else. They have it ass backwards. Can I say that on the air? Ass backwards is okay? Okay. They have it ass backwards. Here's the key, is when you're in business, whatever business you have, number one, you have to define what you do better than everyone else. But number two, you got to find people you click with. Now, you're not going to be best friends with everybody you deal with, but in my business, where engendering trust is key, helping people, whether there's a financial gain in it for you or not, it's key that you deal with people that trust you and like you and you feel the same about them. Because I'm going to give you my cell phone. You're going to be able to call me 10 o'clock on a Saturday night if you got an issue. And I'm going to pick up and do anything I can. And that means driving to you or helping you or something happened. I'm going to do it because you're my 3 out of 10. You're the people I trust and like, and you trust and like me. So when we have these conversations, when a spouse passes away or something dramatic happened, you come in. If you need 20 minutes, you need 20 hours. I'm going to figure out a way to give it to you what you need, because you are a trusted friend, and hopefully I'm a trusted advisor to you. And that's the way I wanted to run my business. I do not care about how much money you have. Of course I make more money the more money you have. If I charge you 1% and you have $100,000, I make $1,000 a year. If your account grows to $300,000, I make $3,000 a year. So of course the numbers matter. But more importantly is the satisfaction of doing a good job with people you like, with people you want to work hard for. And that's any young financial advisor, find that 3 out of 10, find those people you want to deal with. And if you don't like the people advisors you're dealing with for one reason or another, because they have these minimums or all that stuff, make a change. You can easily do it. So if you we'll talk in the next segment about the automatic millionaire process. I'll talk about a young man who came to my office starting a very successful internet company. Talk about a retired doctor that came in early. And we'll talk a little bit about cryptocurrencies. We have 3 more segments to go, and hopefully we'll get a call in on the beginning of the 3rd segment with my friend Steven, who got tied up this morning. So hopefully he can call in and we'll talk about that. Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Call in on the show, 860-464-9490, if you have a question. Thanks. Bye-bye. Welcome back, everybody. Dennis O'Brien from O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, talking about retirement, life, and investing is the name of the show. One more question, one more statement on minimum account size, which really burns me. And I've had accounts that started with $20,000, $2,000, whatever. One guy had he inherited like $2 million, you know, from an uncle he didn't even know about. And he started with $20,000. But because we had a good relationship, you know, that's the way it works. So please, let's talk about a young man. He's referred to me this week. He started a very successful internet company. We're just starting to get to know each other. CPA said he better get organized because the cash flow is starting to come in. And he could have a major cash flow, this young man. He's only 26. And I hope he listens and we get him organized because it can go either way at that age. You know, he can go nuts and start, you know, whatever. So we hope that he's just talking to him. He sounds like a very sharp young man. And he's taken his CPA's advice, and I hope he does what this retired doctor who came in last week too told me. He said, this retired doctor came in, I've known him for decades, and he basically said, he told me early on in his career, he met an insurance agent, and this guy was very, very good. And he realized that he had a young doctor on his hands, and what the insurance agent did was introduce him to his network, to his CPA. Other advisors that helped him get on the right foot and start the automatic millionaire process early in his career. And so what happened was he started doing all the things that we recommend you do. Number one, put money away 10, 15, 20% of your pay before you even touch it. It's automatically taken out. He started, you know, started retirement accounts, everything else. And he says, it wasn't for this fortunate coincidence of running into this right guy early in his career, it made him a multimillionaire. Okay. And he was very humble about it. He said, you know, listen, when you're young and you run into the wrong guy, okay, or the wrong gal, it could go the other way because you really don't know how it works yet unless you have very strong financial parenting, which some people have, but most don't, you know, most people don't. So, my guest last week, Bruce, who you might have heard or might not have heard, great guy, told some great stories about traveling around the country. But he also told us about his first supervisor in his job when he was in his early 20s, I think it was, who told him to pay himself first and start saving automatically. This enabled Bruce to retire at 58 after a life-threatening illness, decided to change his life. He bought an RV. And for the next 7 or 8 years, he went and had some adventures, some of which were absolutely hilarious when we heard about him. I mean, meeting Dolly Parton's niece, sitting with one of the Hatfield and McCoys on the deck watching the lightning in the sky, being down in the Everglades. Oh, man, I tell you, Bruce, that was a great show. And Timmy, my compliance guy, who I send the recording to the show every week, he emailed me and said, that was great. He loved the show. So, Bruce, if you're listening, thank you. It was absolutely wonderful. The next thing I want to talk about, and I told some friends we were going to talk about this week, was the Bitcoin craze that's sweeping the world. The fast money crowd and gamblers, along with the media, are hyping breathlessly every move of this virtual currency. Maybe you've been reading about it. You know, it's 9,000, it's 6,000, it's 14,000, and we're hearing all about it. I'm getting a lot of questions about it. When I'm out in town, people are asking me about it. The first thing I want to tell you is the SEC and FINRA, the regulatory bodies, have put up several warnings in the last few months about warning investors what's going on up on their website. So go to their websites if you want to read those warnings. Because I think the regulatory authorities, you know, like everyone else in my industry, is trying to figure out what's going on here. Is this going to last? Is this something that's a viable investment? Or is this something that's just pure gambling? Pure internet gambling in another form, you know? And so, I've been talking to a lot of people. I've been reading a lot, and, I have a few things I want to pass on to you so you can just, you know, think about it, whatever you decide to do on this case. Okay. Realize one thing. Bitcoin and all those cryptocurrencies is what they call them. And there's hundreds of them now, apparently. It's not an investment. It's an internet casino thing that can go much higher, crash, go up again, down again. Some people told me it's okay to risk 2% of their liquid assets. You got 100 grand, you put 2 grand in. If you got $1 million, you can put 20 grand in on the gamble. That's up to you and your risk appetite. I'm not recommending it one way or the other. I'm just telling you what people passed on to me and their view of it. In my view, there are three aspects to it that you should take into account. Okay? Now listen very carefully. The smart ones will pay attention to the first, in my view. The not so smart will pay attention to the second. And the shady, the third. Okay? I got your attention now, right? Well, the first aspect of Bitcoin and all these cryptocurrencies is the most interesting to me personally. Because this new technology called blockchain looks to be a tremendous breakthrough and may have applications that change the way we live in many different industries. Okay? Do not underestimate what this thing can do from what I'm reading. I'm not even going to try to explain it but based on what I'm reading and what I hear experts saying about blockchain technology, it could be tremendous. Okay? The companies that supply the chips, the hardware, and the pipes for this communication will flourish long after Bitcoin or one of its competitors come to prominence. Right now it's Bitcoin, but who knows? In English, during the gold rush in 1849, very few speculators made money, and the ones that did usually pissed it away. Can I say that on the air? Pissed it away on booze, et cetera, I'll leave that to your imagination. Okay? The true wealth created by the gold rush was the very smart merchants who supplied the picks, the shovel, the towels, the food, etc., to the fortune seekers who came from around the world. And they did come from around the world. Does that sound familiar? It sounds like this internet Bitcoin in a way. It's like a gold rush, all right? If I'm right on the potential of this blockchain technology and its ability to distribute information in a new way, the suppliers to this new industry will flourish in a tremendous, lasting way. Who are their companies and how do we participate? You're going to have to call me on that because it's so fast breaking. I have some ideas in this area, but it's something that, depending on your risk tolerance and whatnot, it really would change on what I would recommend to you. I have several ideas, and if Stephen Bissette can reach a phone to discuss his take on this, he said he might call in around 10:35 after the next commercial break. We'll ask him, okay? So remember, on the first thing, I said there's three aspects to this. And the first thing was the technology, which I think is exciting, this blockchain. I'm very interested in the companies that are going to provide, and I think this may be a huge, huge growth aspect of portfolios down the line, okay? And so I'm trying to get my hands around it. It's developing very strange. If you want to have more conversations, maybe a call during the week or just email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com and we can chat about it, okay? But I am very, very interested in it, okay? The second aspect, if you recall, I called it, is that not for this not so bright, okay? And some people are going to get mad, but to me, it's the currency mania called Bitcoin and these other cryptocurrencies is straight gambling. The rush of the quick profit is never to be underestimated. So picture those people leaving their home around the world and going to the gold mines. Okay. This is what we have going on here, except they don't have to leave their house. They can open up their phone. They can download the thing and buy it. Link it to their bank account and buy it. It's crazy, okay? And that's why we will see what happens, okay? But to me, billions of people can hook up and they have greed on their minds. Forbes has a headline promoting Bitcoin saying it could go into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Who could resist that? But before you run your car off the road, if you're driving, let me say a few things. First of all, no one has a clue about the future value. Number two, how do you know one day your position in Bitcoin has already suddenly disappeared because of hacking? And where's your backup? Who's your custodian? Where's the paper copy of your statement? So if somebody hacks into this, okay, and takes it all, what do you have? So it's something that, you know, 37 years I've seen fads come and go and everything else. And I'm not saying it's not going to go a lot higher. And I'm not saying it's not going to crash. And I'm not saying that your account will get hacked and it all disappear. No, nobody knows. Now, I'm just admitting I don't know. Okay. Now, you're just trying to scare me. Yes, I am, because you should be scared, very scared. Well, Dennis, I'm only going to put 2% of my net worth into it. A reasonable response, unless you can't help yourself and become a very greedy gambler. We all know people who have gone down that road, ruining families, finances, and reputations. So the second aspect is to me, is straight gambling. So be very careful, my friends. Remember, true wealth takes time to harvest. And the slow, patient, disciplined way you want to teach your children and grandchildren, not the gambling way. If you want get-rich schemes, go to Florida. They'll be more than happy to take your money and disappear like Bernie you-know-who. So, my friends, we'll talk about the third aspect at the next break, and this is the one that's for the shady. And I think we ought to just review that quick, and then we'll go on to other things. So the first aspect is the technology is extremely exciting. Let's look at the companies underlying the technology. Number two, you're into straight gambling, okay? That's something you're going to have to watch. We'll talk about the third aspect. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretired.com. See you in a few. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretired.com, dobrien@ifgrr.com. We're talking about cryptocurrencies, namely Bitcoin. And the third aspect to this thing, the first aspect, of course, is technology, which looks very promising. The second aspect is the gambling nature of it with the volatility. And the third aspect is the anonymous nature of Bitcoin and the currencies. People wishing to hide their funds from countries, tax authorities, are driving much of the demand, in my particular view. Eventually, they'll figure out, because this aspect has the ability to create real reaction from governments around the world. Some innocents who are speculating may get caught up in these investigations. It will not be pretty. Please be careful. Caution is advised. Also, if commodity exchanges are successful in introducing future options, watch out. Speculators will figure out how to short this. Watch out. People could lose their shirts. Manipulation will be rampant, in my view. And so you have to be very, very careful what's going on here. Never invest with the media, my friends. And the media is all over this because it's so exciting and it's breaking. And the millennials obviously are very, very interested in it. Waiting on the phone is Stephen Bissett. Stephen is a local investor. Stephen's been following these cryptocurrencies much, much longer than probably 99% of the people out there. Stephen, are you with us?
Good morning, Dennis. How are you today?
I'm good, good. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Stephen, you've heard my comments on the three aspects of it, the concerns I have and whatnot. What do you think? Do you think this is going to last? And what do you think of the risk of it all?
Well, again, first, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Dennis, I appreciate it. Well, I do want to first stress this is something that is on the verge of new technology, new horizon. So please, if you are an investor, do take caution when you're looking at this. Do your homework. And do not, one thing I want to stress is somebody sends you an email saying, here, click here and buy your crypto coin here.
Right.
Do not follow it. There has been a lot of hacking out there. So go to the sites directly. Go to the domains that you've known and you can find. Please use extreme caution.
That's called phishing,
I
right?
I want to bet that.
That's called phishing when somebody sends you a click here type of thing. It's called phishing, right?
Exactly. It's no different than getting the email from Nigeria saying you've inherited $10 million.
Okay.
Be very, very cautious of any emails that you get that's unsolicited.
Thank you. Thank you. So, that's great advice. That's wonderful advice.
Yeah. I want to start with that before we go anywhere. I do want to take a big step back because this technology that's been out there, and you mentioned it, the blockchain, that actually comes from some encryption technology that's been around for some time. Bitcoin, for example, uses a technology called SHA-256, S-H-A-256. And what that is an encryption technology that allows me to send you a document.
Okay.
And I encrypt that document, and I am giving a key.
Right.
I then provide you with the encrypted document, and then through another mechanism, I give you the key to unlock it.
Okay.
So therefore, it's verified between two separate parties.
Okay.
And then you can open that document and have access to it.
Okay.
Similar to the way Bitcoin does, it's actually an open platform.
Okay.
But no one knows who has the key. They can only see the item in there.
Okay.
And that's what the foundation is of blockchain. So blockchain technology is highly, I would say, it's in an evolution stage. IBM has a big stake in blockchain technology. Google has a big stake in it. Even Facebook, they are all looking into this blockchain technology and spending millions of dollars to develop it. And one of the offshoots of blockchain technology is Bitcoin. So don't use Bitcoin and blockchain. You can use them in the same sentence, but they are not the same thing. They are
right.
Two complete different technologies, two different paths.
Okay.
So from an investment standpoint, the blockchain is a great way to invest. You can invest in IBM. You can invest in Amazon. You can invest in the companies that are making these devices. I believe NVIDIA is out there. There's a whole host of other service providers that
right.
are
and based
involved.
On your risk, based on your risk tolerance, okay, they may or may not be suitable for you, but you certainly can consider them.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I had to put that in.
No, risk is always the first thing.
Right.
And actually, you were talking earlier about your doctor. I, too, when I was turned 30, I had my first child. And one of the first things I did in my investment strategy was I actually bought life insurance. And I still can maintain that. And
right.
that's part of my foundation of my
right.
our investment strategy here at our house.
Right.
Is always the protection of the corpus. But moving on to blockchain technology and Bitcoin, you know, the technology has grown such that what people are looking for, they're looking for a way to transfer a value of something, be it a value of a piece of art, for a car, for a way to store wealth. And the way the Bitcoin can do this is that if I buy it here locally with my dollars, I convert the dollar to a Bitcoin.
Right.
And then I can move that Bitcoin to anywhere or to anyone.
Right.
Through a transaction.
Right.
So the ease of the technology, the ease of the transfer of that value has been facilitated through the blockchain technology
right.
via Bitcoin.
Right.
So what we're seeing here is the cost to do that has been brought down to probably about a dollar. So
okay.
for me to transfer $1 million from me to you comes across about a dollar.
Okay.
I pay a dollar to the miners. And then the miner will verify the transaction, and then you'll receive $1 million, whatever much it is. I pay that cost.
Okay,
that's all built into the transaction.
Okay.
In terms of speculators, you're right. There's a lot of speculation out there in the market. There's currently about let's say there's 1,000 different cryptocurrencies out there in the market.
That many, really?
There's quite a few out there. I'm looking at my list right here. I follow about 15 of them.
Right.
My list right here, I have over 130 on my overall list.
Right.
But I don't look at any that don't have a market capitalization of about $1 billion.
Wow.
So do your homework if you're looking at these. So what I'd just like to mention a few names so people, if they're out there talking. One, obviously, is Bitcoin. That's the behemoth in the market. A coin that was split off of Bitcoin is called Litecoin, L-I-T-E-C-O-I-N.
Right.
A little bit smaller in terms of market capitalization, quite a bit smaller. And then there's Ethereum, which is actually a way for people to do secure transactions that is not so much monetarily based. It's actually physically based and software based. So
okay.
a little bit different spin on it.
Okay.
This one is actually developed by a person out of Google.
Okay, so let's just go back a sec. Sorry to interrupt, but
sure.
Now Kevin O'Leary, the guy that's on Shark Tank, said he wanted to send $200,000 in Bitcoin to buy something in Europe, but the banks in Europe said you have to guarantee what the conversion rate will be, And, of course, he couldn't do that because the volatility was so great. It kind of knocked out the argument that you can use Bitcoin as a currency transfer because the volatility is so great, the banks on the other end are going to want guarantees, which nobody's willing to give at this point. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, well, the key word in your premise there is bank. So the bank would not do that because the bank is bound by certain regulations.
Right.
However, let's say Mr. O'Leary was going to send Mr. O'Brien money. Well, you as Mr. O'Brien, you would most likely be able to, you would take that. I would say to Mr. O'Leary, if you're going to send me $100 worth of Bitcoin at today's value, and I can have that in 5 minutes with very little transaction cost, I'd do that. I would absolutely do that if that was part of my business model.
Right.
But that is not part of the bank's business model. So they right. are not in the position to do that.
Right.
And that's one reason why you're seeing a lot of banks not looking at these type of currencies, because it ranges, it's still on, to them, it's still speculation.
Right.
Once it becomes more mainstream, then they'll be doing this.
Okay.
I saw yesterday that the Bank of America has applied for over 100 different patents in this blockchain technology.
Right.
And these patents, I think 10 were approved the other day. So you'll be seeing a lot of these financial institutions starting to invest in blockchain technology.
So they're investing in the actual technology, betting that that one day will work out to be something that they can control, like they control right now the Visa and MasterCard networks.
And that's a good point, because Visa and MasterCard they're a little concerned because
they should be.
Now they take a 3%. So let's say you go out to a restaurant and you buy dinner for $100 for you and your wife.
Yeah, yeah.
So you pay $100, the restaurant receives $97.
Right.
So there's a 3% spread there.
Right.
If I use Bitcoin and you paid me $100 worth of Bitcoin or 100 units worth of Bitcoin, I, as the recipient of that, would get 99.99. So for me, it actually makes more sense, because now I'm saving 3%, multiply that out over millions of dollars, that adds up.
Yeah, but the volatility and the centralized custodian and clearing isn't there yet. So you have,
no,
and the hacking risk is still there, and you don't have that third party verification yet, like you have with brokerage accounts with DTC or with custodian exchanges watching everything. So nobody can cheat another person. So, hey, Stephen, can you call in every week, maybe with a cryptocurrency update when it's convenient for you, and we can talk again? Because I think a lot of people are going to be interested in this. You know,
sure, I'd be glad to call in. Every week, I'd love to talk more about it.
Okay.
I just to give you a little background in the kind of the encryption technology world for 10 years. So I'm familiar with the encryption side of how things work.
Okay.
We were at one point doing a lot of encryption, moving data between different parties, and it was all encrypted. So when blockchain came out and Bitcoin came out, kind of wish I had invested a little bit earlier, but, it is something that's very small in my portfolio, but it is something I do believe in long term that will be a changing dynamic to the market.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in, and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem at all. Thank
all right.
you so much.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien, there you have it. Stephen Bissett talking about cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin and others. When we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about potential market crashes down the line. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. The show is called Retirement Life and Investing. And we have a call in. Sam from Westerly. How are you, Sam, today?
Still 79.
You didn't
still
turn,
breathing.
You didn't go backwards to 78? Come on.
I got about another month left at 79.
yeah? When is it? January?
Yeah, toward the end of January.
Oh, my Lord Almighty. That's fantastic.
I'm settling in for a long winter's nap here. I think I'm going to hibernation.
I don't think you're the hibernating type. He gets up and goes to work every morning, right, Sam?
Still do.
Yeah, that boy, brother.
Nice place to run away from home.
There you go. So what's on your mind today?
Well, I've collected half a dozen thoughts on Bitcoin here while we've been talking.
Fire away, Sam.
Okay, let's see. It's a lot like trying to define pornography. You don't know what it is, but you know it when you see it.
Now, Sam, I can truly say I've never heard that analogy before.
And, of course, an early recognizable scheme here is Ponzi scheme. Sound familiar?
Yes, we've seen those before.
Some people who first get in, you know, they collect a few coins, but all the rest of them left holding the bag.
Exactly.
And, of course, a more up-to-date Ponzi is a Madoff.
Bernie Madoff,
you know, he had the public floor, and we on the second floor, we had the private floor.
Good old Bernie.
Same way with cryptography and passwords, you know. You got the public key, and you got the private key.
Yes.
And only one guy's got the private key.
Yeah, makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it brings into mind some laws of nature, you know. You've probably heard so the conservation of energy.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Whatever there is in energy can be turned into matter, and matter can be turned back to the energy, but it's always conserved.
Right.
Well, I have the conservation of money. No money is ever lost. It just moves from one pocket to another pocket.
Unless you bury it under the third fence post. And you think it's the second fence. You ever hear that story, by the way?
I'm listening.
There's the dealer out on Route 1 out of Mystic there. I forget their name. The Chevy dealer. No, the GMC dealer. One of the salesmen there was telling me a story about how an older couple came in, and they were buying a car several years ago, and they came in with a coffee can, and he opened the coffee can. It had $10,000 in it. And the wife turns to him, hits him on the arm, and said, "I told you to go to the third fence post." That was the one with $15,000. Now we're short for the car. And, you know, it's I've heard some strange stories through the years. Oh, boy, that's funny. But you're right. Money does. Money, one way or the other, can be lost, stolen. You know, it transfers in value.
Never lost. I say it just moves from one pocket to another.
Right. Unless the ship went down in the 1400s with Goldman.
Well, it's still there.
It's still there. You're right. It just hasn't been discovered yet. That's right. Hey, thanks, Sam, for calling in. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dennis.
Take care, my friend. Well, Sam has a point. You know, I mean, money's a funny thing. It's either growing or it's declining, but the risks and the con jobs and the people out there that are willing to take it from you are always out there, so be very, very careful. You know, I was thinking about it today, and I was thinking about how market declines many times are caused by the introduction of a new technology. You know, in the 20s, what was going on? Cars. And it leads to a lot of new wealth for people that don't know how to handle it, and it leads to speculation, and speculation eventually leads to crashes, and then we have the Depression. But the problem with the Depression was the money supply fell 20-30%. Of course, we didn't have federal deposit insurance, and that's what saved us in 2008-2009. So many people are asking about a market crash. Are we going to have a market crash? And what to look for? How to protect your 401k out there with your current or past employer? There are three indications I look for that precedes a crash, okay? And a lot of people can agree or disagree, but this is what I've seen in 37 years. Number one, oil goes up a lot. The rise in oil is usually pretty tremendous, and it's almost a hidden tax. When you pay more for oil, you get nervous, you crimp your budget, and it becomes a tax that, you know, can really hurt, okay? The second thing is a little technical. A couple of weeks ago, I had a bond daddy on named Ed, and we talked about a little bit. But if the 2-year Treasury, okay, right now yields 1.76. So if you give the Treasury your money, you'll get 1.76%, okay? If you give the federal government buy a 10-year Treasury, you get 2.36. Don't hold me to that. It might be a little different, okay? But it's around that number. If the 2-year Treasury yield, the 1.76 currently, rises over the 2.36, which we'll assume stays the same for now, that is a big, big recession call. When the 2-year yield goes over the 10-year yield, because the 10-year yield fell because economy's kind of yucky, or because the Federal Reserve is tightening, that'll raise the 2-year yield. Okay? If the Fed gets too tight and starts raising interest rates where the 2-year goes over the 10-year, okay, watch out. That many times leads to recession. It predicts a recession 9 months ahead of time. And the market's a great discounter and will discount for that and many times fall. And this is exactly what happened in 1987, the first crash I went into. The Fed very aggressively started raising the short rates so they were even or over the longer rates. And when you get that inverted yield curve, watch out. And the market surged, that last 20% surge in early 1987 was the final speculation for the crash that occurred. And it was fast and furious, if you recall, in October of 87. I was much, much younger then. I guess we all were, even if we weren't born yet. And it was quite, we had never seen anything like it because the technology was first coming on and whatnot. So be aware of that. Because that's something that you have to be careful. The third thing I look for is after the 2000-2001 crash, I started investigating, looking for databases, mathematical databases to help me. And the technology was just coming online, and there was a database called VectorVest, which has taken me about 5 years to learn how to use in the way I want to use it. Well, what VectorVest does, it tells me when the soldiers are leaving the field. That means a year or two before the market will crash, many times the soldiers, the individual stocks, their charts will start to go negative. And VectorVest does a very good job of telling me when that's going to happen. And for example, in 2008, from March of 2008 all the way up to when the big crash came in September of 2008, the VectorVest was negative. It was telling me the soldiers were leaving. Do not buy stocks. It was telling me that for 6 months before that crash. And that is very, very important. So if you got the Fed raising rates, you got oil surging, and you got the VectorVest internal numbers telling me that charts are going negative, that's when you got to be very, very aware. Okay, what do we have right now, and why do I think the market's not going to crash right now, at least for another year or two, okay? When I say a year or two, please, I have no idea when, but I'm just giving you a little short-term horizon that I'm currently following myself. Right now, the 2-year over the 10-year is positive, 1.76 to 2.36, roughly, so we're okay. The Fed has not tightened too much, okay? Number two, oil has gone up a little bit recently, maybe $10, but it's nowhere approaching those highs of 90 or 100. If it does, watch out, because the 10-year may start to collapse and go through the 2-year, okay? You got to watch that. Number three, my VectorVest software is very positive still. We get these corrections, okay, but it has not gone negative. The soldiers are still on the field fighting the fight. There's a lot of positivity out there. Earnings are growing, and rates have not risen a lot, okay? So it's a very unusual environment. I think the market goes higher from here. I think you got to stay invested. Okay. And if you sell and you go back into the money market yielding nothing, that usually provides the fuel for the next market leg up. And that's what's happened time after time again. So just be aware of that. 1987 crash was my first, and you never forget your first. Ha ha. Right. 2000-2001 was my second, and I was ready for it. I saw the speculation going on and whatnot, and I was ready for it. 2008-2009 was my third and by far the most traumatic for me. still a head scratcher what happened there. So we'll be talking to a famous author in the coming weeks named William Cohan, who wrote the book House of Cards. William and I had a nice conversation yesterday, and he'll call in January and we'll discuss this topic further. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. In the coming weeks, we'll have experts on mortgages, college funding, budgeting. We'll even have a trust officer to discuss how to design your estate. My goal is to help each one of you do the best job of organizing. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretired.com. You can email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com. Take care. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye now.